The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
The Record with Chivago Lang is sponsored by Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, Burger King, Royal Star Assurance, Atlantis Paradise Island, the Water and Sewage Corporation, and the Ministry of Health.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us today. I want you to hear something.
And I remember my mother and father telling us that we must learn the Bible no matter how difficult life became. And they would teach us from this book about God and about Jesus Christ and about his sacrifice for us. And as kids, we grew up with those conditions. And as you grow older, you begin to question, why are we poor? Because you begin to see other people's lifestyles. And I remember crying out to God one time at age 13. I said, if you exist, you gotta explain this to me. It was at age 13 that my life was transformed. Because that night at 3 a.m., outside on the dirt ground, under the stars in the Bahamas, tears running down my face, I asked God to explain to me why. The answer was simple. He said, because of your mind. That began a journey for me. I surrendered my life to God that night. At age 13, I never. At age 14, I wrote on paper everything I wanted to be and to do. Today, I am doing those things. And something happened between sleeping on the floor and flying my own jet. Now, what happened is I had a mental transformation. Nothing changes until your mind. You can change your clothes, still have the old mind. You can change your location, still have the old mind. You can change your house, still have the old mind. Nothing changes until your mind changes.
7 years ago today, my mentor, friend, big brother, leader of leaders, passed away in a tragic plane crash along with his wife, brother-in-law, Pastor Richard Pinder, and others. 7 years ago, and yet, his words, his voice, his influence continues to echo across the globe, continues to impact lives, so that in our remembrance of him today, even though there is a certain sadness in that memory, there's also tremendous pride and jubilation and gratitude for what Dr. Miles Monroe and Ruth Monroe and their team meant to all of us, peoples across the globe. I am on the island of Grand Bahama, where Pastor Miles and his team were flying to attend a conference which he insisted be hosted in Grand Bahama as a means to uplift both spiritually and economically that island, having been under the weight of economic distress for years. He had asked me myself to present at that conference, and I was not able to. Only a few days before that was when he had reached out to me. And I did not know. The email I received from him on that occasion on my way from New York would be the last such communication we have. I still have the email. Still go back on occasions to read the email, to remember my mentor, my friend, my big brother, a leader of peoples across the globe. Dr. Miles Monroe was a Bahamian hero. You're listening to Z Live today. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here on this occasion. If today you wish to, share with us, the numbers to do so are as follows. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. You can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. So I understand maybe you didn't get the perfect, sufficient clarity. The clip, the piece that I was playing, so I'm gonna let producer play it again for you, because I do want you to get those important words from Dr. Miles Monroe, who I am remembering today, both in his words and in his impact, and what I believe is still us on the planet today. So if producer, you can play that first 2 minutes and I think 8 seconds so that these good folks might not be robbed of the clarity of the voice of a man who I think many will agree was in many ways before his time. Dr. Miles Monroe is who I'm talking about. You say if you are able and ready, please let me know, because I'd like people to hear those important words. Dr. Miles Monroe.
And I remember my mother and father telling us that in the Bible, no matter how difficult life became, and they would teach us from this book about God and about Jesus Christ and about Christ for us. And as kids, we grew up with those conditions. And as you grow older, you begin to question, be poor, because you begin to see other people's lifestyles. And I remember crying out to God one time at age 13. I said, if you exist, you gotta explain this to me. It was at age 13 that my life was transformed. Because that night at 3 a.m. outside on the dirt ground, under the stars in the Bahamas, with tears running down my face, I asked God to explain to me why we were poor. His answer was simple. He says, because of your mind. That began a journey for me. I surrendered my life to God that night at age 13. I never went back. At age 14, I wrote on paper everything I wanted to be and to do. Today, I am doing those things. And something happened between sleeping on the floor and flying my own jet today. Now, what happened is I had a mental transformation. Nothing changes until your mind changes. You can change your clothes, still have the whole mind. Patience, still have the old mind. You can change your house, still have the old mind. Nothing changes until your mind changes. And during that journey as a young man, I began to read the Bible at age 14. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm serious about this. I read this book at age 14. I read through the entire book, and I didn't understand nothing. Because the Bible is a very complicated book, and also I read it in the King James Version, which is even worse. But I read it because I wanted to know what God said to man. When I was 15 years old, I read the Bible again, and I began to understand it. By age 16, I began to memorize big chunks of this book, and my school lessons went from F to A. I became an A student because of this book. I graduated top of my school in high school because of this book. It taught me that nothing was impossible. So my whole life was changed because I fed myself new information, the book, which changed my concept.
That's Dr. Miles Monroe. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. 7 years this day was when he went on to his reward. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Line, your host. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Hello? Yes, it's time. I know, we thought. Well, that's thanks to those returns from my RF Mutual funds. You know they have some of the best performing funds in the market. Yep, with what I've been earning, I can finally set a date for my product launch. Draft the paperwork, I'm on my way.
Reach your financial goals sooner with RF Mutual funds. Sign up by November 29th for a chance to win $1,000. Find out more at rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises its customers. Operation will commence disconnection of all outstanding accounts beginning Monday, November 15th, 2021, in both New Providence and the Family Islands. Customers with outstanding accounts and financial agreements are requested to ensure that their accounts and financial agreements are brought up to date as soon as possible to avoid an interruption in service. Should you need to speak with a customer representative, please visit their Mall at Milethorne location or the corporation's head office on University Boulevard between the hours of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, or via local banks, the corporation's website, phone by dialing 302-5630 or any cash and go, Omni Flash Cash or Sun Cash location.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316. That's 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I'm remembering today the late Dr. Miles Monroe and his wonderful wife, Lady Ruth Monroe and their team that included a pastor who I came to know relatively well too, Pastor Richard Pinder. Remembering that on this day 7 years ago, they and several members of their team flying into Freeport, Grand Bahama, tragically crashed out there by the shipyard. I remember that night as vividly as one could remember anything. In point of fact, I was dropping my son to a church for in preparation for something on Saturday night. And a gentleman who was sitting in his truck, who I know very well, and he said to me, he said, you know, Shivago, the last time I saw you, you and I completed the sentence for him. I said, you and I were sitting in your truck in the rain, waiting on confirmation as to whether, in fact, Dr. Miles Monroe had crashed right there in the shipyard. We were on the side of the road, very near the entrance of the ship, waiting for confirmation of that fact. Heart pumping, pounding. I had called Pastor, trying to see whether or not he would pick up an answer. He never did. And this just happened Saturday gone, when I connected with that gentleman again. My first encounter with Pastor Miles was through invitation by Dr. Dave Burrows, who was then the youth pastor at Bahamas Faith Ministries and the host of Youth Alive, which was probably a significant youth event happening in the country. And he had heard about me, I had heard about him, and he invited me to share at Youth Alive. And on that occasion, I met with Pastor Miles Monroe. And I can tell you, I mean, he, from the very first time I met him, I observed something about him, which was that he had this unique ability to zoom in on you as if you were the only person at the moment that he was talking to you. And I remember how animated he was, how absolutely jovial he was, how excited about life he was, and how really emphatic he was about living out your life's purpose. And then I became even more familiar with him because he was very close to my cousin Adrian. And so through Adrian, he and I ended up interacting a lot more, and we built up a very close relationship over many talks, many private talks, many words of guidance and wisdom and consultation and exchanges of our understanding of scripture and life and the world. I traveled with him on occasion. I'll never forget that. We were in and walking the streets of San Diego. And as we were walking, I saw this people started doing a double take. And somebody was brave enough to say, to ask, are you Dr. Miles Monroe? Are you him? And he said, I am, you know, and they were just so excited to have an occasion to speak with him. I remember I was in Costa Rica on one occasion, and I was at a reception. And for some reason, one of the attendants at the reception came. We were having a conversation as he was serving the drinks. And I can't remember how it happened, but he came to find out that I was from the Bahamas. And this is exactly what he said to me. He says, you are from the Bahamas? I said, yes. He says, then do you know Dr. Miles Monroe? I said, I know him. He says, you know Dr. Miles Monroe? And he just went off on all their admiration for Dr. Miles Monroe, and country after country in which I found myself with or without Dr. Kinds of story. Some of the stories Dr. Miles Monroe told me his own self. He told me on one occasion he was in an elevator and he was facing the door of the elevator as we would tend to do ourselves. And he said, there was a voice behind him say, are you Dr. Miles Monroe? And he said, yes. And then he looked, he says, well, the voice said, oh, well, you have to come upstairs and sign my book. And he said, he turned around and guess who was behind him? He said, Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan, man, he went upstairs to Michael Jordan's suite, and Michael Jordan, he autographed books, his books for him. And stories after story, whether it was Stevie Wonder, Les Brown, or others, he would recount these stories of how he had the ability to interact with people who had been touched by, who had been influenced by his teaching. I don't think that anyone on planet Earth, anyone on planet Earth, notwithstanding that the most successful and the most widely sold book was The Purpose-Driven Life, other than the Bible in hardback, it's a purpose-driven life, that anyone brought greater clarity to the notion of a life of purpose than Dr. Miles Monroe. No one. And I verily believe that had he been an American like Rick Warren, and maybe in the suburban environs of the United States of America, that his book perhaps would have been that book, because his notion of purpose is pointing us to the fact that if you want to know the purpose, that you have to go to the manufacturer of the thing. You cannot ask the thing what its purpose is outside of reference to the manufacturer of the thing. That it is in the fulfillment of purpose that a thing finds itself in right standing in the world, unable to find fulfillment. That was Dr. Miles Monroe. And then he followed that up with potential and helping us to realize and appreciate what potential was, and helping us to see that in a seed was a forest. Seed was the potential for all things that sprung from that seed. And that we, in examining our own lives, are like seeds with full of potential. Nobody could define your potential outside of the manufacturer, he said. So listen to the people down you and put you down and tell you what you couldn't do and can't do and will do was nonsense. We wouldn't have said it quite like that. He would have said that nobody can tell you what your potential is. Only the manufacturer. And so echoed over and over again. And I remember flocking to BFM, Bahamas Faith Ministries, in those early days when BFM was on Markey Street, and all the rumors were circulating about this cult that Miles Monroe was leading on Markey Street. And all the folks were talking about how people were there being made to sign forms that would declare their salaries so that their tithes could be blah, 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 and how they used to chant in the dark and all this kinds of stuff. And I went there, a curious soul, having grown up in the Assemblies of God church, been a significant and active participant. I now found myself at College of the Bahamas with a part of the student Christian movement, and wanting to continue to grow in my faith and listening and being curious about this place. And I went that night, and all the nonsense I had heard was just utter nonsense. Now, mind you, the worship was certainly different than I had heard before. And the teaching was electric. And I decided I wanted more of that. I wanted more of this person. And I could sit and listen for hours and hours as I did, and learn and soaked it up and absorbed the meaning and the teachings of this man. And I came to see how in time he would evolve into somebody we highly respected, even though in the first instance he had been greatly suspected. Remember me? He says, Shivago, he says, people will talk. Just make sure what they say about you ain't true if it's negative. That's what he told me. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hi, Shivago, how are you?
I'm doing okay, and yourself?
That's good. This is LeVette calling from North Carolina. I was the one who called on with the music, but I had to call in because you're talking about somebody who, I think it would have been in 2008 when I was about PhD, and to do a presentation to the school counselors at a conference we had. And I told him that I bought this book called Becoming a Leader. And when I told him that I was going off to do my PhD, he was so excited. I mean, and I was just thinking, he was like, my father, he was like, oh, he's so excited. He started like just pouring out all kinds of, you know. And he wrote in my book, and I went to look for my book at my shelf, and it says, Levesque died empty. And when he died also that night, I couldn't find this book for nothing. I mean, I searched, all I could, I was trying to find this book because I had moved like about, you know, several times. And when I really found it, I can't remember when I found it, I was so happy that I found the book. And, you know, to see his sign, you know, signature on a book that he signed to me. And it wasn't like, no, you know, normally you have those stamps where people just stamp their signature, but it was an actual signature. So he was such a profound person. When I moved here to North Carolina, and even in Tampa, when I was in Tampa and I went to church in Tampa, but here in North Carolina, I moved here, and, you know, every time you ask, where are you from? And the pastor says, oh, I met Dr. Miles Munder. We sat right next to each other, you know. And so when he passed away, and I went to church that morning, you know, they even talked about him, you know. And afterwards, he come. I was, you know, you normally walk out and they shake your hand. And he said, "Oh, I am so sorry to hear about that. I mean, that was such a wonderful man." So like you said, he was well known everywhere. I mean, like everywhere you go in Tampa, the same thing. When I lived in Tampa. Same thing. The first thing you say, you know Miles Monroe? You know Dr. Miles Monroe? You know, you can't say, well, I sit next to him, but I know him, you know. But I'm glad I said I had an opportunity to meet him. I didn't meet his wife. And I met Dr. Dave for two times, but I haven't met any of the other persons. But just from listening on and, you know, being in the Christian faith, you hear about persons and, you know, they do such a wonderful job. But I just needed to call in. And I went looking for my book on the shelf again, just to see again what it said and looking at its handwriting. So, and thank you so much for allowing me to share.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate you calling. Thank you. We have some text here. This text is Mr. Lang. Many years ago, I was in South Africa and during a conversation with a South African, it came out that I was from the Bahamas. I was astounded when he told me that a similar thing happened during a trip to Switzerland. I was glad when you said just now that this, his influence is global. There's no question about that. And I know many others who have recounted and can recount such stories about Pastor Miles. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, and yourself?
Very well, thanks. I'm glad that you're pausing to remember the great Dr. Miles Monroe and all of those persons who perished with him in that plane crash 7 years. But I tell you, his work is complete with the dawn. And his impact in my life, I tell you, I can say that he had a part in a small way, but it was a great part. I remember as a child growing up in Stephen Bell Baptist Church on Meeting Street. He was a part of that church because his parents, his family went. And then I remember growing up in Grandstown area, they used to come down on the Southern Recreation Grounds. We used to have the Sunday afternoon concerts, open air concerts. He and the Visionaries, so I got to see him up close. But it wasn't until after 85 or so, before I got married, it would have been like in the early 80s, I decided to sneak out of our Baptist church and go over there, like you went over there to Palmdale, Shepherd Center. And you got to enjoy it. And I tell you, participate in those Friday evening worship services.
Yeah. Wasn't there something?
Man, look here. I tell you, man, we used to have our car. We used to have our car full. And as a matter of fact, at the end of the day, do you know that all of that, us carrying those young people, them, oh, they're sneaking out there on a Friday night, some of them end up staying right there, and some of them actually had the leaders in that church. Right. And not only was it that, it also was the opportunity for my husband and I, when we got engaged in September 1984, we got engaged and we did counseling classes through BFM on Saturday afternoons. Almost a year of counseling classes every Saturday for an hour, hour and a half. With groupings of persons who were getting married. Profound drinking there. They have carried us straight through 36 years this year. My husband and I.
Congratulations.
You know, I got to see him and his wife close up. And I used to be a youth leader at our Baptist church, and we had a Bible study, a home Bible study. And we invited him to come. And I think we couldn't have it at the church, or something happened, but we ended up having it. He said, sure, no problem. Come. And when he came, he says, no one sat in no chair. We sit on the floor. And we had a sit on the floor, everybody sitting on the floor, and we studied the Word of God. He and his wife were there with us, and they studied that Word with us, broke it down. And that gave us that yearning. I prefer to teaching any day to the Word of God, to like that Word, to know the Word, to see it for yourself, to study it, and to grow by it. And I am forever grateful.
We appreciate
Pastor
Miles
Monroe, for his wife, Pastor Ruth, for Pastor Richard. I knew those three, Pastor Sheena, and the whole BFM. I knew them in a personal affront way, and I'm forever grateful. Right
we
now, my husband and I serve in a church. Serve in a church. So
we appreciate
disciples. We are a part of it.
We appreciate your calling. Thank you very much. Yeah, 7 years ago, Dr. Miles Monroe, his wife Ruth, Vice President of BFM, Dr. Richard Pinder, newly ordained youth pastor, Levad Manifest Parks, and his wife Radel, and their son, Johanan, pilot, Captain Stanley Thurston, co-pilot, Franklin Cooper, and Diego de Santiago, a 30-year-old U.S. resident, were killed in a plane crash on this day. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabar Belang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. You're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
We are working to protect our country, our people, and our livelihoods so that we can move forward. The vaccine is safe. The vaccine is easy. The vaccine is essential for our recovery. If we want to rebuild our, if we want to get back to our jobs, if we want to get back to our lives, our families, we must do this together.
Marsh the car?
I ain't marsh the car. The lady run into me marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
And have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. If you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabar Gulang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us today when we remember Dr. Miles Monroe, a Bahamian hero and a man of faith, man of God, a great teacher, great motivator. This clip says, this text says that clip about Dr. Miles Monroe is more precious than gold. Oh, I wish I had that clip. Well, you have it now because I just sent it to you. On that day of the crash, the entire Bahamas was at a standstill. Dr. Miles was a powerful, God-fearing man that loved God and people, severely missed. I agree with you 100%. This text says, good afternoon, brother. Great topic today and always a great show. Dr. Miles plays a great part of the person today. His teaching helped me to change my thinking, which has changed my life. Each time I visited BFM, he would say, welcome home, and will make me feel like I am the only person in the world. I listened to him on YouTube this morning and do so a few week times a week. I am still learning from him in heaven. I am forever grateful to him. This text says, good afternoon, great man, had the opportunity to work with him much ahead of his time, absolutely. This text says, as Lang 7 years ago today, these ambassadors of the kingdom of God were recalled. Doctors Monroe and Pindus were certainly agents of change. I'm ever grateful that I got the opportunity to worship and serve at BFM where they pastored. I will never be the same. Their mission, transforming followers into leaders, and leaders into agents of change, impactful leaders indeed. One of Dr. Monroe's impactful quotes that I am guided by, one of the greatest tragedies in life is not death, but life without a purpose. Only the manufacturer knows the purpose of a thing, which is found in his manual. We remember, we honor, we continue to the magnificent work you are doing, sir, and God bless you. Thank you very much. You know, Pastor Miles, it became so obvious how in demand he was. Stacks and reams of invitations would be sent to him. And he had a way of dealing with it very matter-of-factly, with great intentionality. And you just saw that he was enjoying his life. That's reality. And this was my observation, whether he was on the stage or he was off the stage, he enjoyed eating. I mean, like if you watch, he reminded me of my mother, like if you watch them eat, you would think that whatever they were eating was the best tasting thing on planet Earth. And whether we were in California or Jamaica or Washington or Nassau, you know, when you socialized with him around a meal, it was an experience. It was an experience. And always a lesson with humor would come out in that experience. Sometimes he'd say to me while we were traveling, he'd be shopping, doing something. He said, man, pick that up. I said, no, I'm good, I'm good. He said, listen, you ain't gonna rob me of my blessing. Pick that up, because I'm trying to get you on your way up. Y'all remember I used to tell people, say, tell somebody on the side of you, say, if you knew who was sitting on the side of you, you'd treat me better. And he meant that. He meant that, listen, nobody know where you're going. Nobody know where you're going to become. Nobody. I wish to goodness that we would echo those things in the words, in the ears of our children more often. In the Bahamas, over the hill, below the hill, on top of the hill, on Colonel Hill, wherever they were, Bimini, Grand Bahama, Abaco, in Providence, Eleuthera, Andros, Long Island, Cat Island, they have worn a long key, in Nagua, Crooked Island, Cat Island, doesn't matter, wherever they were, found themselves, San Salvador. I wish that be an echo to those children. Nobody knows what you'll become. Nobody knows, save your maker. And if they knew, they'd treat you differently. And you know that could be true in good and bad ways, because if you knew somebody was gonna go in the wrong direction, wouldn't you treat them differently in a way to try to steer them in the right direction? Nobody knows. And there's something about a child who grows up with confidence. I don't care if people call them arrogant. If a child grows up with a sense that I can do almost anything that the possibilities that abound for me are enormous. If a child can grow up with that kind of confidence, man, let me tell you something, that child, the kind of child can take on the world. That kind of child would not be subject to peer pressure in the same kind of way. That kind of child would be able to overcome challenges, would be able to endure hardship. That kind of child would learn the importance of treating people because they understand and know that part and parcel of me getting where I want to go is being able to be respectful and loving toward other people. That kind of child will uplift the environment in which they find themselves. And I dare a child to be in the presence of a Dr. Miles Monroe and not to have felt that kind of encouragement, kind of push. And you know, many a young people got that same kind of a Dave Burrows who was in the environment of a Dr. Myles Munroe because he believed similarly. Listen, it didn't matter what your upbringing was. It doesn't matter what your past was. Dave Burrows taught, as I imagine he was influenced by Dr. Myles Munroe, that listen, it doesn't matter where you start. What matters is where you finish. And where you finish is a matter of your mindset, your willingness to allow the God of creation to be an influencing power in your life. I don't know what people believe. I don't know. I don't know what you believe today, my brother and my sister. I'm not trying to get down on you for what you believe. I know what I believe. And I know what I believe is done. Both a positive influence for me and a corrective influence for me and a grace for me in light of my frailty and flaws. That's what I know. And I'm grateful to my parents who first introduced me to that belief. And then over time, I had to come and reconcile myself with that belief myself. I had to struggle, as did Dr. Myles Munroe, with my own doubts, with my own lack over these things. And I still have such lack of clarity. I'm not like some people. I don't know there are lots of things about God I do not know. There are lots of things about God, the Bible, and the like I question. So what? The mystery in the world doesn't stop me from believing the world exists. Doesn't stop me from trying to understand the world better. Doesn't make me doubt the world. It just fuels my need to get more information and greater clarity and so forth. So I'm not one of those people that stand around and say, I know, because I read the Bible, I know everything about God, and the Bible has everything about God. Nonsense. Nonsense. I know the Bible knows everything about God because Paul himself, who wrote to him, said, listen, I have yet many other things to say unto you, but I shall say them unto you when I come to you myself. Well, if he didn't write it down and said it to them, well, that means that there are many things to have been said that wasn't written down. So why would I think that the Bible is complete in terms of all the information that exists in the universe? It does not. It's not. There are many specific issues the Bible does not address and speak to, not specifically, but thank God there is a dynamism and a living God who you can put your queries to, questions to. I remember in my conversations with Dr. Myles Munroe, this incompleteness and mystery of things was something with which he had no challenge grappling. And most people are men of faith, of deep faith, don't have it. Here is the Lord, but you done it. My enemies, you're trying to mash me up and you just sitting up there doing nothing. Remember that? David talked about how his enemies were doing this, that, and the next thing to him and so forth and so forth. And then it was only when he went into the temple that he saw the end of the wicked. But he had his doubts. He had his fears. He had his concerns. It's called genuine faith. If you sit around, if you are afraid or offended when people express their doubts about your faith and about your God, if you get offended when people express their disagreement and disbelief in what you believe, oftentimes your offense isn't because you think them to be something. You are offended a lot of times because you are scared they might be right. But you can take that, listen, you can listen to them and listen to where they're coming from and see, I try to see where they're coming from. And if you are gracious enough and if you are humble enough, God will fill you with wisdom sometimes, even in your silence or in your words, to give them some guidance. I lived for 1 year at the University of Western Ontario in a dorm. My roommate, Canadian, did not believe in God. He ridiculed me when at the time I used to blast my Jimmy Swaggart, blast my gospel music. And they used to to ridicule me for being this religious zealot. And when Jimmy Swaggart fell, oh my goodness, as he put it, they had some words for me. But I told them then, I said, my faith was never in Jimmy Swaggart. I love him, I love him still. I said, but my faith is in Jesus Christ. And when he falls, then you come and let me know. But one day my roommate asked me, he said, Shabari, you know what I can't understand is, how can you believe in God when there are children dying? He said, what kind of good God would let children die? So I asked him a question. And as I said to you, I didn't get offended. I listened. And just these words came to me. I asked him a question. I said, is the population of the planet growing or decreasing? He said, it's growing. I said, so in order for the population of the planet to increase, more people must be living, and when born, children living than dying. True or not true? He said, that is true. I said, if therefore more people, children are living than dying, and you blame God for being not good because children are dying, then who do you blame for all the more children who are living? Would not you be inconsistent in your description of God? Because even in your own calculation, you would have to say God is more good than telling you something else. I said, no, I ain't something else, brother. I just know there's a wisdom far beyond my own. And if we are willing to search, that's all, just search, I don't think you'll be let down. Do you know, I reached out to him a few years ago by email, and I could send you the email, and the first thing he said to me was, hey, Lang, he said, you wouldn't believe that today I am a deacon in my church, my Presbyterian church. Who knows? Who knows? God ain't scared of our doubts, nor our fears. He's not afraid of them. What he wants is our authentic, earnest search. For he said, if you search for me diligently with your whole heart, you will find me. For he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what he said. That's why I tell people, don't get all upset and frustrated and flustered and frustrated. If somebody's willing to search, just direct them to search. They'll find the answer because God loves them. That was Dr. Miles' message too. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where we've been remembering my mentor, great friend, great leader, late Dr. Miles Monroe, and his wife, Ruth Monroe, all the others who perished with them in that tragic, fatal plane crash 7 years ago today. This text says, thanks, Lang. Great. Producer, do we still have a call on the line? Let me make sure we don't. We don't, I don't think. Says, thanks, Lang. Great show in celebrating the life and legacy of a great man of God, national icon, hero, spiritual father, mentor. pastor and prophet to the nation and the world. I sent you that video of Pastor Mads preaching on morality and nations, Rome and America on your phone today. Did you get it? I love him in life and in death. May they all rest in peace. I don't know that I got it. So text says, Mr. Lang, I was at a conference in Brazil and one of the participants heard I was from the Bahamas and went crazy asking me about Dr. Miles Monroe. May his soul rest in peace. We still have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
A pleasure. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hey, thank you for your patience, Sparky.
No problem. I just wanted to ask you a question because, see, I grew up in the Anglican faith. I think in your early days, you grew up in the Anglican faith as well. Yes.
I was a candle bearer.
Well, I was christened in St. Matthews. In 1951, I was confirmed in St. George's. I went through all the process of serving as an acolyte all over the altar and everything, and I went through all of the backroom vestry. I think my parents wanted me to be a priest.
You used to censor Sparky, you know, the sense in the altar now?
Yeah, man, I went through the altar. I was taught to be an altar boy by Rosie Cadet.
Man, you know that used to be my job. What do you call people who do the censor?
Who'd be the
sector? Yeah, who do the incense? Who carry that incense?
You mean the surfer?
What is it called?
The surfer.
Maybe, I don't know.
The guy who's shooting the incense and things.
Yeah.
And the little boy on the side called him the boat boy.
Okay, man, listen,
the little thing he used to have in his hand, we used to call that the boat. We used to call that a little bit the boat boy. And then the guy who's swinging the chalice and thing like that with all the incense and thing, we call that the turfer.
The turfer, yeah.
Then you got the cross bearer.
Yes.
And then you got the priest, and then you got the altar assistant, that I forget what they call him now. But I've been away from it from my 19, I'm 70 now. Well, yes. What I was saying is, I grew up under the Christian faith. Now, most of us grew up in the Bahamas under the Christian faith. Now, think about it now. Because I just want to be real with myself. I don't care what nobody thinks about me. Because I really only have the answer to not man, not Jesus, but God. See, this is my belief. God is bigger than anything. God is bigger than Jesus. God was before there was ever anything. Even Jesus bowed down on his knees and prayed to God to forget where I'm coming from. When we were brought up as Anglicans, we were actually brainwashed because our parents came from the same thing and they came from the same thing. And this was instilled by us, by the people that brought Christianity to the Africans. So we gradually came down with that. But then we split up into different religions, Catholic, Anglicans, Baptists, Seventh-day Adventists, this, that, the next. But what I'm saying is, because you believe in Jesus, you can't condemn me because I believe in Allah, because to me, Allah is God. Now, Muhammad was a prophet to my belief, although I was taught with the King James version of the Bible written in 1604, disseminated to the world in 1611. My belief is Jesus was a young prophet also. Muhammad was a prophet. Jesus, Buddha was a prophet. They have many prophets that came and walked the face of the earth, but they all served God, and they all served God, and they all was interested in helping mankind. So when you say to people that all you need is your belief in Jesus Christ, that's different from me. I don't serve Jesus. I serve Jesus' Father. Because even on the cross, God, Jesus said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Jesus of you, he asked the Father. So I said the greatest thing on earth, and that is energy, which is positive and negative. Without the positive, you can't have a negative. And if them two together are not working, you can't have existence. Have a good day. That's my belief.
Okay. We appreciate you calling. That's your belief. I don't know. I don't think a condemnation comes in the picture at all, because whether somebody condemns you or not, amongst the nothing, And you're stating what you believe is stating what you believe. People stating what they believe is stating what they believe, and they have a right to believe as they believe. What is true is, it is not for us to condemn anybody. What is true is for us to encourage souls to search for God. That's the reality. Search for God, right? And even while, Sparky, you quote Jesus, you did quote him, you quoted him, so obviously you put some stake and value in his quote. So you must also remember that the same quote that you, the same person you just quoted, who you say you worship the Father and not him, the same person says, "For no man cometh unto the Father except by me." Okay, so I don't, it's not a condemnation. It's just a, you quoted him, and he said, I'm just saying what he said, according to the Bible, because the quote you got from the Bible too. So he said, "No man cometh to the Father but by me." He said, "No man hath ever seen the Father save the Son," right? "And him to whom the Father hath revealed him," right? And the same Jesus said, same one, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So when we want to argue circularly, we have to be careful, because once you ascribe words in one instance, you have to ask yourself now whether I'm going to subscribe to his words in the other instance. I don't believe that anybody should condemn a Buddhist. I don't believe that anybody should condemn a Muslim or a Jew, somebody who believes in Judaism or Taoist or so forth. That we are told that we are not to condemn anyone. We are told, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." So we are already told that. We are told, don't say who's going to be in heaven or who's going to be in hell, because that is not for you to say. So we already know that. That's not the point. So why a person needs to be riled up about somebody having a view different than theirs is really just a matter of personal growth and understanding, because we are told that's not our business. But what we are told is to share what we believe to be true. We are told to encourage people to search and so forth, right? And that's all you do. And so don't get offended when somebody tells you they believe on Jesus Christ, just as they shouldn't get offended if you tell them, "I don't believe in Jesus Christ." Why should they get offended? What does offense do for anybody because you are offended by their belief? No. In fact, the most powerful way to manifest the belief we have is by virtue of our behavior and conduct. It's the most powerful way. And in the end, I tell people, listen, man, for me to get worked up arguing with you about what I believe is to deny a very fundamental reality, which is this, that the world is 100% accurate on even though Moses was taken away and this one was taken away, they were human beings, man. They died. For it is appointed unto man once to die. All men die. And all that needs to happen for you to know the truth and I to know the truth is to close our eyes in death. And who are you going to argue with then? So why should you get worked out? I encourage, I love, I share. And that's my responsibility, my brother. So I'm blaming, no, if my mother and father taught me Christianity in a certain way, I'm not blaming them. That's nonsense, because when I become a man, I can act like a man. I don't need to act like a child, and I can go search for myself. So who's to blame your mommy and your daddy? If you don't blame your mommy and your daddy, if you're an adult, blame yourself, because you could search. But too often times in our own laziness or our own unwillingness to search ourselves, we accept what we accept. Anyway, in honor of late Dr. Miles Monroe, I wanted to share something also with you. This text says, "The thoroughfare on both Oh boy, that's what Sparky just helped us see. And the second is MC and MC? MC and MC? You sure it's MC and MC or is MC and something else? The text says, God is ultimate judge. Jesus also said, I am the Father. I want no question about that. He did say that. He did say that. So why we should make the distinctions beyond me? Not only him and the Father are one, him and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one. The Holy Spirit is God. The Bible text teaches that. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God in the scripture. It's called according to the Judeo-Christian tradition. So thank you very much, sir. I truly appreciate it. You're welcome. No problem. You got the clip. All right, I do an exercise in which I try to ask myself, what's the most useful lessons you have learned in life? The most useful. And I try to ask myself, what's the most useful lesson you've learned in life? And I think through this, I work through this, I'm trying to figure out. And, you know, if I had to list the most useful as in the thing that provides you with daily value every single time, the thing that provides you utility with benefits every day, what would be that thing? What would be that most useful thing? You could do this for yourself. I mean, you don't have to, your usefulness, your most useful lesson don't have to be mine. Don't have to be mine. This is the most useful lesson I have learned, and it served me well from I was a child. My mother said to me when I asked her, because I tried to ask her, what I was like as a child. And she said, you were quiet, believe it or not. She said, and you always had a stick, and you were always writing something in the dirt. That's what she told me. She said, and no matter when you gathered, you didn't look for company, but when you got in the company of people, you were always trying to teach somebody something. That's what she said. And when I come back from the break, I'm going to tell you all what I identified as the most valuable lesson I have learned in this world after 54 years of living. You're listening to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you make it down the same road.
BK Nassau and Pepsi want to bring you a fun day on us. Amazing prizes like staycations at Atlantis or Bahamar, powerboat adventure excursions, or a Blue Lagoon dolphin encounter. You can also win a relaxing day at Sandy Toes or a VIP movie experience at Fusion. Upgrade your combo at any of BK Nassau's 7 locations and enter to win at BK242.com. Win fun days with Pepsi and Burger King, where taste is king.
Hello. Yes, it's time. Yeah, I know a lot sooner than we thought. I know. Well, that's thanks to those returns from my RF Mutual funds. You know they have some of the best performing funds in the market. Yep, with what I've been earning, I can finally set a date for my product launch. Draft the paperwork, I'm on my way.
Reach your financial goals sooner with RF Mutual Funds. Sign up by November 29th for a chance to win $1,000. Find out more at rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Wow, Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabak Olang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon where we remember one of the greats, late Dr. Miles Monroe, Ruth Monroe, and others who unfortunately passed away with them by way of plane crash 7 years ago this day. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can also text us on that's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. So what's the most important lesson I learned after 54 years of living? I have learned many lessons. This is the most important lesson. And I'm grateful that I learned it early. And I want to bequeath it to my children. I want to pass it on to anyone that I am able to influence with it. What's that lesson? Anybody want to know? Yeah. Most important lesson I learned, and I learned it early, was be a thinker. Be a thinker. In other words, see, thinking happens to us, right? That's not the same as being a thinker. Church, thoughts would flow through your head. If you, and some thoughts that you would not want flowing through your head in church would flow through your head. If you were in your bedroom, thoughts would flow through your head naturally. You would have nothing to do with it. You don't even know where the thoughts come from. It doesn't matter what you are doing, unless your brain is completely dead, as far as we know, thoughts will flow through your head. That's it. Like a stream of water just flowing naturally in nature, thoughts will flow through your head. You didn't conjure them up deliberately. You don't know where they're coming from. They are disconnected from anything sometimes you are doing. You start to think about one thing, and then all of a sudden you're on to 16,000 different things that have nothing to do with what you're thinking about. That's not the thinking I'm talking about. Being a thinker means deliberately and intentionally examining the issues of your life with a view you to discovering what is true, what is best, and what is possible. Deliberately. When you are asked a question, have the ability to weigh the question, understand the question, evaluate the question, and grab at the truth and facts and evidence and research to the extent that is necessary to answer the question. To be a thinker means to be able to think about how you question the very thinking that you are doing. That's a thinker. To be a thinker is to know that there's perspective in life, that a thing that is happening now may have some context in the yesterday and may have some bearing on the tomorrow. To be a thinker is to be able to know that I have examined my own reflection on this matter and come to conclude I was wrong or mistaken or misinformed or not adequately informed. That's a thinker. It is what enables us to become reasonable human beings. It is what enables us to become productive human beings. It is what enables us to calculate in the world and to make better judgments and better decisions. It doesn't make us perfect. It doesn't make us close to perfect, but it helps us to navigate the world with greater efficiency and effectiveness for our own benefit and the benefit of others. Be a thinker. Don't just take people's words. Don't just take people's guidance. Don't just take people's direction. Don't just take people's information. Evaluate it. Think through it. Walk through it with your mind and wrestle with it until you can be satisfied, to the extent you can be satisfied that you can work with that information. be a thinker. Why is that so important? Because as a man thinking in his heart, so is he. As a man thinking in the depths of his being, so is he and she. Thinking matters. Being a thinker matters. Listen to me. If you're a parent, encourage your children to think, to be thinkers. Act by impulse, because that's the alternative to intentional conduct. The alternative to thinking is impulse, to be and act instinctively. And to be and act instinctively could mean sometimes we act like base animals, like we're acting out of our primal fears. And so we act for pleasure. We act out of fear. We act for flight. We act for fight. But the thinker is able to say to his body memory, which is acting impulsively, this is not the time nor the place for that. There is a better way. There is a different way. The thinker is able to. The thinker is able, in the face of challenge, in the face of insult, in the face of offense, to say, you know, right now I'm examining the thoughts in my head that would lead me to lash out at you, to lead me to strike you, lead me to say something absolutely offensive to you, except I know that in the long run, in the end, those will not work to my benefit nor yours. The thinker can see that. Be a thinker. So we have to encourage our children to think. To think through their impulses. Because I have a 13-year-old, and over the years I've had to say to him many times, why would you do that? Why did you not think through the implications of what you just did? How dangerous it could have been for you and for other people? And sometimes he would say to me, he said, Daddy, I don't know. Sometimes foolishness has come in my head. And I said, that's true. And so now I need you to be able to think about the thoughts in your head. You are going to ride that train to the wreckage that it is going to. Because that's what happens. We get these thoughts that flow through our heads, and the decision we have to make is whether we're going to hop on the train or not. Like a train, those thoughts come. And the only question is, am I going to ride this train? Or am I not going to ride this train? To be sure, every train in your head, every train of thought in your head has a destination. And that destination could be wreckage, harm, danger, death, or success and better. Be a thinker. That was and remains the greatest lesson of my life. As a man thinking, in a sad source. So when I examine my own self, the weaknesses I have, the strengths I have, many of them reflect the quality of my thinking, reflect the content of my thought life, reflect the reasoning that I have put into it, and produces for me certain results, some good, some not so good. And so it is a daily work for me, as it must be for you, to manage our thoughts. You see, let me tell you something. If you went into a business and consistently you found that the business you found that the business did not have a product. If you found that the staff were ill-trained and discourteous and not productive, if you found that the environment was dysfunctional and nasty, what would you say about that business? What would you say about that business? You would say that that was a poorly managed business. Wouldn't you say that? That's what we would tell. Any business, any organization you went into and you saw it dysfunctional and not working well, you'd say, this is a badly managed business. That's what you and I would say. If you went into a house and the house was dirty, consistently disorganized and really in disrepair, you would say this is a badly managed house. Wouldn't you say that? When you say that, if you went into a country and you saw that it had a lot of civil unrest and the institutions didn't work well and so forth, you would say this is a badly managed country, right? That's what you'd say. You, by management, you mean that things are not being organized in a way to achieve the objective of this organization. Things are not being put in place in the way that it should be placed so that order might prevail. Well, the same thing is true of our minds. If you could examine the thought life of a person, and you see manifested in their lives certain things, you can come to the conclusion that they are either managing well or managing unwell their thoughts. That I am doing the same thing. We can be good at it, we can be fair at it, we can be poor at it, we can be very bad at it. And in the end, the management of those thoughts, our minds, will be reflected in the results that we get in our lives as seen through the situations, many of the situations that prevail in our lives, okay? Some situations may be fantastic. Some may be not fantastic. But in many respects, it will reflect the organization of our thoughts and how we execute those thoughts through our behavior for our benefit or harm. Be a thinker. That's why Dr. Myers Munroe said, listen, my life changed when my thinking changed. The difference between sleeping on the floor, flying a jet, was how I came to think. You can give money to a man so that materially he becomes rich, but if his mind is poor, his money will follow. And you can give a poor man little money, but if his mind is rich, in time, his money will reflect it. Be a thinker, an intentional user of thoughts toward productive and purposeful ends. And that's really the bottom line, you know, is being able consciously to decide, what is it that I want? He said, you know, Dr. Myers said he wrote at 14 years old, what it was he wanted. The minute you are able to clearly define what you want, if that thing is truly what you want, something happens. Your thoughts get aligned with that. Your mind gets aligned with that. Your body gets aligned with that. And your effort gets aligned with that. Let me use a base example to share with you how that is true. Help me, Lord. So you're walking, minding your own business, basically, and you spot him or her. Dang, they are attractive. Oh, my, right? All of a sudden now, you have an interest. Man, I want to know this person. Man, I want to get to know this person. Now, you find your mind almost obsesses on it. And your mind turns your body, your attention, your effort toward the pursuit of it. Well, if that is true on that most basic base level, imagine what happens when we get the same intentionality developed towards something more noble, more grand. where we are obsessed in a way, really strongly desirous of a thing happening. Because our minds have locked onto it, what happens is now our body gets orientated towards it, our effort gets orientated towards it, our consciousness gets orientated toward it, and we will work to that end. But it begins in the mind, though. It begins with the mind, and the mind working through those, stirring up those feelings of desire to have and to get and to possess and to achieve and to accomplish, so that you are able to put in the effort, endure the challenge, endure the hardship to make it happen. We have a text here. This text says, Mr. Lang, I would please play Pastor Miles Monroe's famous, powerful songs, Brand New World and Living for Jesus. Please, can you play it? I did have that thought in my head. I did have it in my head for sure. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. I love them too. I love those songs as well. Be a thinker. If you are a young parent, young children, really young children, let me tell you something, boy. If you want to help them a lot, teach them to be thinkers. How do you do that? How do you teach, help children to be thinkers? When we come back from the break, I'll share some thoughts with you on it. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabar Balang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
We are working to protect our country, our people, and our livelihoods so that we can move forward. The vaccine is safe. The vaccine is easy. The vaccine is essential for our recovery. If we want to get back to our jobs, if we want to get back to our lives, our families, we must do this together.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pulled up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Do you want to travel this holiday season? Don't want to miss out on those doorbuster deals? Haven't gotten your COVID-19 vaccine yet? The Johnson & Johnson vaccine may be just what you need. It's one and done and fully vaccinated. For now, just one jab of this vaccine, and 2 weeks later, you're fully vaccinated and ready to shop. This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health and this radio station.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I don't like the way the world is turning. Something inside is always yearning. If we want a brand new world, we've got to have
Miles Monroe, if you want a brand new life, you got to come to Jesus Christ. All right. Welcome back to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us today as we remember Dr. Miles Monroe, who on this day, along with his wife and others, tragically crashed in plane crash in Grand Bahama, where I am today. What a great man, super guy, did just some marvelous things, shared some marvelous thoughts, provided enormous benefits to the world through his teachings, through his efforts. His text says, so happy to hear you on. Dr. Miles and Ruth Monroe, but can I also pay tribute to the Center for his books and teachings on process. Pastor Richard had an interesting, distinctive laugh that would cause all around to involuntarily laugh out loud to, irrespective of the environment or venue. He was a teddy bear, that's for sure. A loving pastor, husband, father to many of us beyond his precious biological children, Richard III and Talia. Special mention must be made of his wife, Pastor Sheena Pinder, the remaining one of the original four. She remains strong in the faith despite the loss of her sister, brother-in-law, and her husband and all at once. Cecina still serves in the church and goes on mission trips to help others. She is pressing on towards the prize of the high calling. We love her. Absolutely. Absolutely. Pastor Richard was, he was in fact a stabilizer, because in the many instances in which Pastor Miles was away, etc., he carried the day, carried the way, and he was definitely an affable gentleman and had a quiet kind of resolve about him. His demeanor was always approachable, at least insofar as my experiences with him were concerned. And he was something else, you know, on one occasion that was signed by both of them. And for some reason, you know, as a cabinet minister, I moved up and down a lot, and we packed up a lot of stuff and so forth. And I came to find that book like years later. And it was from both of he and Pastor Myers, and in it was a $50 bill. $50 bill. They were blessing me. But that was the duo of Pastor Richard Pinder and Dr. Miles Monroe. And yes, Sister Sheena, lovely person, lovely. Mind you, also, Sister Sheena's brother-in-law, Sister Ruth's brother, Dr. Freeman Lockhart, is my doctor. And he is actually dealing with me today. So it is. Oh, sorry about that. Ah, boy. Waking from home is something. but I'm dealing with Dr. Lockhart even these days for something. And I saw her older brother, who was at the tribunal, labor tribunal for some time also, Brother Lockhart. And so, yeah, they are all holding on and faring and pressing, understanding the tragedy. I'm sure today for them is a difficult, hard day. Also, I'm sure many fond memories. So I am, it's really something today to be able to remember a man as significant, as impactful as Dr. Miles Monroe. And I can tell you there are just reams of teachings available on YouTube or in his books that can be very useful, very helpful to many of us today. You know, if you are not careful in this world, you can get entirely absorbed in the happenings in this world. You can get really down by the daily strains and stresses of this world. You can get lost in the battles you are having with the people in your world, whether they are family or friends or neighbors or colleagues at work. You can, and in time, all of that can weigh so heavily on you that you become one with all the crap and the trash and the nonsense that is happening in the world, and it will sour your spirit, it will poison your mind, it will strain your body, it will lead you to illness if we are not careful. And so it's very important that we are able to manage our thinking. We are able to step away. We are able to step back, clear our thoughts, clear our minds, find hope in the eternal, find peace in the gratitude for the blessings, and find a means to strategize through the struggle. And that's a question of your thinking, because even your thinking will lead you to say, you know what, stop thinking, enough of that. Just go and sit on the beach and enjoy it. Go and take a walk in nature and enjoy it. Go and hang out with your children and enjoy it. Go and connect with your spouse and enjoy it. Go out and just have a meal that you enjoy. Go out obsessed with your thinking. Good thinking will help you do that too. And so you have to be careful. Don't let this life poison you. Don't let it turn you inside out and make you see the world in a way that distorts the fact that it has both pleasure and pain, beauty and some ugliness, good and bad, because you get so absorbed, so taken up. See, let me tell you something. When you, most of our struggles, most of our challenges in this world, we have with people. We have with people. And it's largely because as people, and that includes us, we can be immensely selfish. We only want what we want. We don't care what you are about. We don't care what you're doing. I just want to do what I want to do, and I want to do what I want to do now. I want to do it the way I want to do it. And we can be immensely selfish. Sometimes that selfishness isn't even malicious. Meaning, I'm not trying to be selfish to do something to you. I'm trying to be selfish because I'm trying to do something for me. And that it impacts you, that it impacts you is irrelevant to me. The fact of the matter is, this is what I want. That is possible. That happens. And sometimes we come in conflict with other people, and that causes problems. And we take on all of that nastiness, all of that bitterness, all of that negativity and so forth, and we take it personally. And then that starts to sour us. And we have to be careful. Because generating that storm in your heart and in your mind does nothing to the people outside of you. It only does something to you. And it is not easy. Listen to me, folks. Governing our minds ain't easy at all. It is not easy at all. I can tell you that. There are times when I try to take a thought out of my head, and the thought just starts to get stronger. And that's why sometimes they teach you gotta don't fight against the thought, because in that fight, remember now to fight with something, it has to be present with you. So as long as you fight with it, it gotta be present with you. You aren't punching at the air, you're punching at it. So it is present, it's close to you. And so, you know, it is hard sometimes to govern your thoughts. It's hard, but it is something that we have got to work at, practice, and habituate, because it is possible. It is possible to learn how to not ruminate about something, how to not obsess with something, how to not allow something to just take over your entire being. So that you become that negativity, you become that stress, you become that strain in your own self, and make yourself sick. So managing that thought process is important. And through practice, you get it done. You get it done. You know, I learned some. I told you want to teach your children to be thinkers. And there are ways that I, over the years, have tried to encourage my children to be thinkers. Now, how well they are in terms of thinking, I can only tell you based on my own assessment, they can think. That's all I can tell you. Because when you're 54 years old and your 13-year-old can put up a debate with you, that is essentially like an adult debate, they're thinking. And that is true of my daughter and my two sons. They are rigorous. Mind you, the quality of their thinking ain't the same altogether. Some of them better than others, but they are thinkers. They are independent thinkers, right? But how do you do it? Well, first of all, I tried often not to volunteer answers to my kids. When they asked me things, I would turn on them and say, what do you think? And if they were unprepared to say anything to me, I would say, well, go away. And when you have a thought about it, you come back to me. I would ask, are you the same person I saw on Google the other day? Yeah. So, you know, there's lots of information available on the internet. You know, why don't you go and try and search it out and then tell me what you come up with, right? I would keep material around that provided a source of information for them. So I tried to provoke them to thought by not being an easy source of answers or explanations, okay? So that was one way I tried to make them thinkers. I also tried to make them calculate. So if they wanted money, I would ask them things like, okay, how much money do you have toward this thing you want? $5. I said, how much the thing cost again? I said, $45. I said, so how much you need? I said, $40. And they said, okay. I said, well, how you can get $40? Said, what you mean? Said, yeah, how are you going to get $40? But that's what I come to ask you for. And I'm just going to give you $40 just because you're my son. I can give you $40 just like that. Or if they needed a pair of tennis, I'd ask them, how much tennis costs? $120. I said, let me tell you, ask you a question. How much you make an hour? Oh, you don't wait. Okay, I said, I'll tell you what. If you were making $10 an hour, how much it would cost you to buy them tennis? Right? And then they'd say, oh, 12 hours. I said, you prepared to work 12 hours for your tennis? So you do things to challenge them to think. When you're watching a program with them, you see something significant that they reacted to, and you ask them, what do you think about that? How did that make you feel? What are your thoughts about that? And what you're doing is you're trying to get them to engage their conscious minds in the thinking process. And in doing so, you will help them move along the way. Be a thinker. I am sure that the late Dr. Marsman, I'm sure and the late Dr. Richard Pindell would boast, all of us, and all our children, and all our family, and all our friends to be thinkers. In fact, I would dare say that the next 20 years and 40 years of the life of this country will largely reflect the quality of the thinking of its people. God bless all of you, and we remember this day, some wonderful saints of God. Dr. Miles Monroe, Lady Ruth Monroe, Dr. Richard Pindell, and a great team of young leaders, the Parkses, and Diego, and the pilots. God bless you all. Y'all have a great evening, and Nahaja Black.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand,
We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Z Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, Burger King, Royal Star Assurance, Atlantis Paradise Island, the Water and Sewage Corporation, and the Ministry of Health.